As we left off yesterday, we were discussing the sheet of the Migash, that Migo lifted the Shmuel Aminan. The Migash claimed that the whole institution of Migo throughout Shas only applies lifted on Mamon. But Lifta Mishrua doesn't exist. And you have three Rayas, and three Rayas were three Shruas. So we saw yesterday that the Rosh disputed every one of the Rayas. But the Mikdus is not a Raya, and Shom is not a Raya, and Eirech is not a Raya. Each one was sorted for different reasons. Most of the Rishon follow, many of the Rishon follow the Sheet of the Rosh, that there is no such principle called Migo Lifta Mishrua Lamina. The issue that we have to confront, because after all, we're really learning about Tiyat Daf Gimel, we're not really learning the Sugyas and Shavuos, it's not Migos and Mishvua, but the problem is that this Machlokes in Megash and the Rosh is impacting about how to read our Gemara. Because we started the whole Sugya with Rabba's famous statement, that Vema Amr Torah, Moda Mitzvatan Yishava. Rabba raised the question, why is it that a Maidu Mitzvah has to take a Shavuot in the first place? And Tosus interpreted that question to mean, why isn't he Neman with a Migo? That was built into the question of Rabba. Why do we obligate the Maidu Mitzvah to take a Shavua? Let us exempt him from a Shavua because after all, he has a Migo. So part of that question is obviously assuming, the base of that question is assuming that yes, a Migo lifted a Shavua came and Rinan. And the only reason why this particular Migo doesn't work because it's a Migo de Ha'aza, but not for that technical problem. So Migo lifts the Mishvua, Kedam Rinan. Comes out of the Ribbon Gash for a Migo Bar. According to the Ribbon Gash, it doesn't go off the ground, the principle of Migo lifts the Mishvua. So what was Rabba asking questions? What was bothering Rabba exactly? What did Rabba want? What was wrong with Shvus Medu Mixus? So the Kubetis quotes an entirely different shot in Rabba. It goes back really to the very beginning when we introduced Rabba the first time. Rabba starts out with a very strange question. So we ask the question, what the nature of that question is. Is that a halachic question, or in a certain sense, is that a machshava question? Was Rabba bothered with some very real halachic dilemma? I.e., how could it be that Moed Mimiktas is Chayav Shua? Doesn't that fly in the face of the halachic principle of Migo? Migo that he could have been kafra kol. That's how Taisus learned. That's how the Rosh learned. That's how most of the Rishonim learned. There was a halachic problem, needed a halachic solution. Because of us, etc. But according to the Rebbe Gash, maybe the question wasn't totally different. So Shimon Kubetz quotes that there was some Rishonim who say, Rabba was not even asking a halachic dilemma. He wasn't asking a question about every Moed Mikdash should be put because of Migo. No. He was merely making an observation. The observation of Rabba was, we have two halachas in the Torah that logically don't really make any sense. Not that there's a halachic contradiction between them, but just how could it be psychologically, how could it be sociologically, whatever the terms you want to use, that you have two dinei Torah. One is the Maidu Mixus, one is the Kafra Kol. Sometimes the guy takes the Shavua, sometimes the guy doesn't take the Shavua. It seems so arbitrary. It's not that, hey, there's a halacha of Migo that's contradicting Shavua's Maidu Mixus. All the Gemara meant to ask was, either there's a Shavua by both, or there's a Shavua by neither. How do we understand this? Just conceptual, doesn't make any sense. Not that there's a steer from here, Hilchos Migo. Hilchos Migo is irrelevant, says the Shimon Kubetz. Hilchos Migo is only by mom and never by Shavua in the first place. Ragash is right. So the Bnei Ma'amr Torah is not asking a question of Hilchos Migo. So the Bnei Ma'amr Torah is just wondering. It's like the same kind of question we're asking about Parah Aduma. How could it be? It's the Tamas of the Horem and the Taras of the Tamim. It just doesn't make any sense through human logic. So sometimes the answer is, sometimes by Parah Aduma you say, there's no way to understand it. But here the Gemara says, that's not a Chos. This is not in the area of Chukum, this is Mishpat. It makes sense. How does it make sense? How come it seems so arbitrary? Sometimes yes, Shavuot, sometimes no Shavuot. The answer is that by Moed Mimiktas, it's more likely that the person's pulling a stunt. It's more likely the guy's lying. Why? Because by Moed Mimiktas, he doesn't feel so bad to lie. But Ishtamute, he's just trying to avoid us right now. Maybe he'll tell the truth later. So Moed Mimiktas, we want to get him to admit the truth. Kaifer Akol. Hey, the next part of Feva Chovo. The odds are that the person is probably telling the truth. If a Kaifer Akol, it's highly unlikely that he's lying. So Mustafa, we can give the benefit of the doubt. We're not going to insist on a Shavua. So Rabba's question was a radically different question. Rabba's question never invoked Migo, because Migo is completely irrelevant to that discussion, because Migo lifted the Shavua, lo yamri
nun. Did
he even ask for Rashi? If you want to go Rashi, it means like the Messiah. It's a lagamri, a different question. Maybe. You know, Chanami. Right, the problem is we're afraid to add too many Rishon to Rashi's camp, because we didn't quite understand Rashi in the first place. So the bottom line is that we have a major machlokes of Rishonim, both in terms of reading our Gemara, and in terms of reading the Gemara's in Shavuos, and in terms of understanding the applications of the rule of Migo. When all the dust settles, is Migo only something that works in Didei Mamonos, or does Migo work even with the Shavuos?
maybe in the case, if Kofar HaKol doesn't need a shmul, because chances are he's telling the truth, so why not make the other claimant make a shavua? If he's got so much, if the other guy's got so much credibility, maybe talk to the other claimant.
Well, so minat Torah, there's no such thing as a shavua sanot. Minat Torah, shavua is only to get out of a claim. Shavua never is to use to collect money. There's a gantz of the shavua sanot. But very, very few cases of Chazal instituted that. But minat Torah, we'll call nishbar shmutan nishbar v'lom nishamim. So at least we understand how the Gemara's play out, the rise of the Rimagash, the decline of the rise of the Rimagash. But we have to really get to the main part of this we get today, and that is why. Why should it be conceptually that what the Rimagash is saying could be true? Why is it that Nigo Lifta Mimamon Yasam Rinan and Nigo Lifta Mishvua Lorimin? What is it about Shvuas that prevents us from applying the principle of Bina? So the Rimagash himself never explains to us conceptually what's going on. He brings us the Rayas, shows us the Gemaras, but he never explains to us conceptually why there should be such a distinction. So come the earlier Achronim, the Sa'ar Shulchan Aruch and Cheshe Mishpat, and different Achronim give different twists to try to explain why there should be so. Conceptually, what's the problem? So comes the Levush, one of the earlier Achronim, the Farshim and the Shulchan Aruch, the whole Sefer, the Levush Mordechai. Comes the Levush and suggests as follows. You know, we know a little bit about Migo. We know that the underlying principle of Migo is that based on what you're saying and based on the context of everything we know, you are most probably telling the truth. That's the whole yisod of Migo. That's what we saw Migo. The other doesn't work because it's not a proof that you're telling the truth, because you could have said something else. You wouldn't have said something else. So the whole institution of Migo is based on the premise that you could have just as easily said something else. You would have just said something else. If you're really lying, you would have lied in a better way. If we can somehow undermine that, you could have lied, then the whole Migo falls by the wayside. Comes to the Levush and says, it's pure psychology, the reason why Migo lifts our Mishvul Arbita. Says Levush, when I have a dintar against you, and I'm claiming money, I'm saying you owe me $10,000, you're going to do your homework, you're going to hire your best lawyers, you're going to think through your case, you're going to read up, you're going to think of every possible claim that you can have in order to make the get out of $10,000. You, under no circumstances, want to pay that money. I think that's a fairly true statement of universalism. You don't want to pay $10,000, so you're going to do your work, you're going to think. And you're going to exhaust in your own mind every possible taina. From the fact that, notwithstanding the fact that you have 100 possible times, so to speak, on your piece of paper, and you choose one, you could have said the other time up. That's a riot to something. That's a proof to something. That's a proof that you're probably telling the truth. Because if you would have wanted a lie, you would have chose that taina that would have won the case for you. You could have just as easily lied. It's not a migo da'aza, no chutzpah, nothing preventing you from lying. That's what migo is based on. You could have lied, and if you're wrong, you have all the tainas available for you to potentially lie. However, when the din Torah is only in the chashvuas, when I'm coming to you and I'm saying, listen, I'm not going to make you pay the $100, but I'm going to insist you take a shvua, because I have an eid echad, I have a medu mitzvah, a shvua sashomer. I know that I'm never really going to get the money out of you if you take the shvua, and you know that the stakes of the dintar aren't that high either, because you could just take a shvua and call it a day. It's not going to cost you anything. So your reaction to the dintar may be, I say to you, you owe me a shvua, you have to take a shvua. So you may say something, you may respond something, not necessarily exhausting all your possibilities. You may not think through all your possible timers. You may not bother to have all the possible backups, because at the end of the day, you know you're not going to lose too much if you lose the dintara. What are the ramifications of quote unquote losing the dintara? So you have to take a shvua. Big deal. It's not going to cost you the money anyway, as long as you're willing to take that shvua. So therefore, comes to the Bush and says, just psychologically, when you have a dintara, hilchos shvuos, the whole yisod, the whole engine, which is driving Migo, that, well, it's an absolute proof that you could have, that you're telling the truth, because you could have said something else. It's not true. That falls short, hilchos shvuos, because it's not that you could have said something else. You could have said something else, assuming that you would have bothered to say something else. Hilchos shvuos, lifto mishvua, lopped off, you would have gone that extra mile to say it. So basically, if you want to conceptually understand what the Bush is saying, the problem with a Migo Lifta Mishvua is a conceptually similar problem to a Migo Da'aza Lo Aminan. The reason why Migo Da'aza Lo Aminan is because there's something wrong with the Migo Gufa. The whole premise of Migo is, I could have lied. I could have lied, you couldn't have lied. Either you couldn't have lied in Migo Da'aza because it's a chutzpah if you have lied, and therefore you probably wouldn't do it. Or in the case of Nigel Lifter Mishmua, you couldn't have lied, because I wouldn't say you couldn't, but you wouldn't have bothered to lie. It's not a proof of anything. The fact that you didn't try an X is not proving anything, because it wouldn't have been worth your while to even think through and to formulate and to advance a title that was a lie, because big deal, it's only if the Shmuel's anyway, Shmuel take the Shmuel and get out of the story. So that's the little Bush's twist on why the Rimagash says that Nigel Lifter Mishmua, I mean it. Comes the Sma on the side of the Shechorah Chesh Mishpat and suggests another approach, a conceptually different approach, and we have to touch up a little bit with the Sma saying. Comes the Sma and says, we have a Migo in front of us, so Chazal has to decide, are we going to let this guy get off the hook with the Migo, or are we not going to let him get off the hook with the Migo? So what are the ramifications of not letting him get off the hook? What are the ramifications of saying, no, we're not going to let his Migo work, we're going to ignore him, we're going to toss him out the window? What happens then? So it depends what area of Allah you're in. If you're an Ochaz Mamadis, what that means is the other guy wins the Dintara, because that's every case of Migo. I come to you with a Taina. My Taina is a very, very convincing Taina. You respond with a half-baked, very Shvacha Taina. So Deiza would just look at the case. My word against your word, I would win. The better Taina wins the Dintara. So if we won't apply the principle of Migo, what's going to happen is that Deiza is going to be Maitzi Mamad in effect. So comes the Sman says, that's what Migo comes and saves the day. Migo says, if the Nitva, the other person, has something on his side, he has something to defend himself, he has the Migo to defend himself, we're not going to be Motzi Mamon if you have a Migo on your side. Why? Because, Motzi Chmel Varaya. We're not in the business of being Motzi Mamon. Beis doesn't like to be Motzi Mamon. We're not going to be Motzi Mamon if you have anything defending yourself. What's defending you? Your time itself is not defending you, but the Migo is defending you. So Migo is going to work to get you out of paying money. But says the Sma, in Hilchos Shvua, so what's the big deal? So we'll make you take the Shvua. Asma, what's so terrible? I have a claim that you have to take me a Shvua. You give a response which is not really enough to get you out of the Shvua. You want to invoke it because Migo to get you out of the Shvua? Nah, Migo's not so convincing. Migo's not such an ayah. It's not a proof positive, says the Sma. Migo's enough for us to say, listen, we're not going to take away money if you have a Migo defending yourself. But if you have a Migo defending yourself merely to get out of a Shvua, to be Mechayev Shvua, we're still going to be Mechayev Shvua. So comes the Shach, and the Sa'ad Shachorah quotes the Sma, and says, what the Sma sounds like he's saying is something that we don't want to say. It sounds like he's saying that Migo was instituted by the Chachamim. It sounds like it's something that the Torah never sanctioned. The Torah never accepted the semonis of Migo. All Migo is a way for us to figure out. It's a tool that the Chachamim use. Should we give credibility to a story or not? So if a man's a Mamamur, we're going to give, we're not giving credibility to a story. It's just that we're too nervous to be Motzi Mamon. So we, as Chazal, are too nervous to be Motzi Mamon. Therefore, we'll let you get away with the Migo. Whereas to be Hatir from Shvua, that's the big deal. What if it's Hatir from Shvua? Well, you take the Shvua because of the name. Take the Shvua. So comes the Shach and says, it can't be. If that's what the Sma meant, then it's an impossible shot. Why? Because that would be delegating Migo down to the level of the Rabbanans, and that undermines everything we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks. Migo is, of course, deraisa. Everybody knows Migo is deraisa. How do you know Migo is deraisa? No, we weren't quite sure how you know Migo is deraisa. We were a little bit shaky what the source of Migo deraisa is. But the consensus view of the Rishonim seems to be that Migo is of some kind of a principle deraisa. We had the Ritva last week who wanted to compare it to Pesha Osar, others disagreed. But to say that Migo is only Midr Abana, that Midr Torah, this is not part of the Hilah Mishpatim, that's very, very difficult to say. So can we salvage the Sma without going down maybe the wrong route of the Rabbanan? So I think that maybe one can read into the Sma whether the Sma actually himself meant this, or we could put a little bit of a twist on the Sma. One could suggest as follows. Perhaps what the Sma means is, lead out the word the Rabbanan. That's not a good word here in the context of the Sigur Zemigo. What the Sma means is as follows. You know, when you present the Migo to us, I say you owe me $100 and you give a Shachataina, but you have a quote unquote Migo, so we believe you with a Migo. What does that mean, we believe you with a Migo? What does it mean, we believe you with a Migo? So Migo can accomplish one of two things. Either Migo can mean that you have absolute credibility. You've proven to us that you're telling the truth. Migo's a row, Migo's a biror. Migo is proving to us that you are in fact in the right. Is that the shot in Migo? Migo is at Mavaria? Well, Migo is not a Mavaria. Migo is a creation of a Safek. It could be that you're telling the truth. Because many people, I'm going to use the word most people, I'm going to use 95% of people, some people, if they wanted to lie, they would have lied better. Not everybody. Some people don't know how to lie so well. Some people try to outsmart the Migos. Every Migo is the latest asafik. So what do you do now when you have the latest asafik? So I have a claim that says you owe me $100. You advance the shvacher claim. So if I have a good claim, you have a shvacher claim. That's not even the latest asafik. I would have been better. But now, once you have a Migo on your side, so we turn around and say, wait a second. Yes, it's true that I have a $100 claim, and it's a great claim against you, but there's a reyesa, there's a suffix, there's a latest suffix as to who's supposed to win right now. Migo raises a yellow flag. It's not a proof positive. It just raises a flag to say, wait a second, hold on. We're not as convinced as we were before. So now what do you do? So now that Migo raised a latest suffix, where do you go from there? So this is where Mammon and Shvuah part ways. In the realm of Mammonis, you have a Klal Gadol, you can't be behind Mammonis, I'll thank you. Even in Elchum Mammon HaKarov, so you, as long as you can create a latest of something, you don't have to prove your case. The Nitzvah doesn't have to prove that he's right. All the Nitzvah has to prove is that the other guy is not necessarily right. How does it go with Dina Mammonis and Dina Foshas? There are different standards of proof. So the standard of proof to get out of paying is not 100%. You don't have to prove that you're right. You just have to prove to the base. The base has no clue. So the base throws their hands up and say, we don't know what to do. So you don't know what to do. So Mamela, the guy's not enough to pay. That's all that Migo does. But Hilchos Shvuos, there's a Cheskes Chiva Mishvua. The Din Torah starts out with the Benedicta, starts out with the Enechad, starts out with Shvuos Hashemim. So the Torah created a Chiva Shvua. Now you as the Nitva have to prove to us that you don't have to take the Shvua. So it's Alech Labiraya. You have to prove that you are not Chayiv the Shvua. So if Migo would have been a Biro, it's 100% proof, it's a proof positive, so then you've proven beyond the shadow of a doubt, you don't have to take the Shvua. But Migo can't do that, says the Sma. All Migo can do, because Migo can do, is create a latest asafik. So if Migo is only sufficient to create a latest asafik, it's enough to get you out of Mammonis, but it's not enough to get you out of a Shvuah. So this approach, if this is the approach of the Sma, or our revamped approach of the Sma, then conceptually the chisaron of this Migo to Shvuah, is much different than according to the Lavush. According to the Lavush, the problem with Migo Lufto Mishvua is that there's something intrinsically wrong with the Migo itself. The Migo is like a Migo de Ha'aza. The Migo is not telling us anything. The Migo isn't meeting the criteria of Hilchos Migo. It's not a sufficient indication to us that the guy is telling the truth. That was the chisaron according to the Lavush. According to the Sma, it's a good Migo. There's nothing wrong with this Migo. It's as absolute, perfectly good Migo as any other Migo under the sun. The only problem is, in the area of Halacha, what you're trying to accomplish with this Migo is not acceptable. It's Mashal Vadavidama we had at the very beginning of the Sugyas, that Migo Lahotzi Lamrinan. Many of the Mishan text this, right? Migo Lahotzi Lamrinan. You can only use Migo to hold on to money. You can't use Migo to take away somebody else's money. So what was the problem with that Migo? Is that there's something wrong with the Migo Gufa? There's something wrong with the psychological, with the odds? Something wrong with the odds. Migo Lahotzi, the odds are just as well if you tell the truth as the Migo Liftar. The only difference is that Migo doesn't have jurisdiction. Right? It doesn't have the ability to be Maitzi Mamas. Migo is not a tool that's used to get money away from people. So toward the Nami, that's what the Sma seems to be saying, that Migo is not a tool that's acceptable in Hilchos Shvuos. Because Migo is not a biror, because even the best Migo under the sun is not really a biror, it's merely a latest asafek. So whenever you have a latest asafek is enough to get you out of a mammon, latest asafek is not enough to get you out of a shvuah, because by shvuah there's a cheskes chiyuv, that the Torah is matil, the Torah already required of you to take the shvuah, and you have to prove to us that you no longer have to take the shvuah. So not only are these two answers of the Lavush and the Sma picking up on a different dimension, but they're conceptually very different. One is undermining the etzem amigo, saying that the amigo just doesn't meet the psychological standards of what constitutes a valid amigo. The second is saying it's the greatest amigo under the sun. But the particular area of halacha that you want to use the amigo for doesn't work. Like Moshe Mal David Omer, I want to use the Migo in Chol Shabbos. Let me be with Chol Shabbos. Migo I could have had a Pikuach Nefesh or something. So, you're in the wrong area of Halacha. So Migo only makes sense in those areas where it has the ability to work. So it only works. Liftor Mimamon, it doesn't work. Mahotzi, it doesn't work. Toldim Mishvu, it doesn't work in the Svatar. So Migo is the chisaron of the Migo Liftor Mishvu is not a chisaron in the Gufa Migo. It's a chisaron in the fact that we're now in an area of Halacha the Migo doesn't carry anyway. Comes the Taz, the third Mahalach, the side of the Shulchan Kashi Mishpat and gives a third approach. Different from Lavush and different from the Smah. Comes the Taz and says, a Migal list of a Shvua is great. It's good. There's nothing wrong with this Migal. It's an absolute proof positive that the guy is telling the truth. Migal list of a Shvua really should have worked. There's nothing wrong with it per se. It's not a Chisar of the Migal, it's not a Chisar of the Erev Halacha. But you know what the problem is? Says the Taz. It's a proof. No question about it. It's a Birur. But on the hierarchy of Birurim, a Shvua is a better Birur than a Migal. There are yesh v'yesh, there are proofs, and then there are proofs. So comes the Taz and says, we have a halacha, hilchas proofs. Whatever the halacha requires us to prove something, even though you come up with a proof that's potentially acceptable, if there's the ability, if you have the ability to bring up a higher level of proof, then the halacha requires you to do that. So just because Migal proves, quote unquote, that you're telling the truth, but Shvua is a greater level of proof. It's a greater raya. And therefore the halacha kicks in that you have to bring the best possible raya that's available to you. Heichem atzidu davar kazeh, where do we find such a halacha? So the Taz says, it's my favorite Shigamar, in Mishachem Dabdalanam and Aleph, in about as different area of halachas you could possibly go with. Hilchas Migos and Shvuas, go back to Hilchas Bedikas Chometz, this week's parsha a little bit. Comes the Gemara in Abdallah and Maseches Pesachim and has the following shayla. The Gemara raised the question, if a person buys a house from somebody on the night of B'dikas Chometz, can he assume that the person did B'dikas Chometz or not? I buy the house from you at 4 o'clock in the morning. Can I assume that, you own the house at 8 o'clock at night, so you probably did B'dikas Chometz? Or do I assume, no, maybe you didn't do B'dikas Chometz, maybe you were lazy, maybe not so sure with Torah mitzvahs, you didn't necessarily do B'dikas Chometz. So the Gemara says, can we rely on the fact that most Jews do B'dikas Chometz? Or do we say no? Do we say that I love that, and I have to go do the B'dikas Chometz? That's the Gemara Shaila. So the Gemara says, what? My nefkamina? What kind of silly Shaila is that? Whether you have to do Shaila, ask the guy. When he pick up the phone, ask the guy whether he did B'dikas Chometz or not. If he says yes, and it's going to be soon. If he says no, then tough luck. Then you can be mad at him, but if you have to do it. So the Gemara says, what's the Shaila? Can I rely on the role that most people did B'dikas Chometz, most people didn't do B'dikas Chometz? Maybe yeah, maybe no. What do you mean, maybe yeah, maybe no? Find out. Pick up the phone and call the guy. The Gemara says, you're right. If the guy would be around, you would be mechuyif to find the guy. Ask the guy. But Hachamaiskidan, the lay say, he's on his cruise already. He already left for Pesach. He's long gone. He's in the middle of, I won't even say where, he's in the North Pole, South Pole, wherever he is, getting ready for Pesach. You can't find him. He doesn't have any phone contact. So now we have to shout. So what do you do? Can I rely on the roof? Can I rely on the roof? Let's see, you have to figure out the sugya in Pesachim Dabdalas. So comes the Taz and says, if you look at the Rishonim, already Medayik in that Gemara, how come you have to ask him? Why can't I rely on the roof? The Gemara raised the Shaila. Can I rely on the roof or not rely on the roof? The Gemara said, what a silly Shaila, just ask the guy. Well, I don't want to ask the guy. If the roof is that he probably did B'dikas Chometz, I rely on the roof. So what do you see from this Gemara, say the Rishonim? That even in a situation where you have a roof on your side, a roof is a B-roof, we know that. Roof is the fire with the facts. A roof is a B-roof that I can be certain that this is what happened. I can be certain. But it's not as certain as being certain. It's not as the same as asking the guy. If the guy tells me that it did the biggest chometz, that's a much greater proof than just merely relying on the rov. So you see from the Gemara that even though we have a walking principle called rov, when it's possible to be mevarer, the halacha requires of you to be mevarer. So comes the Taz and says, that's the same story here also. Who would have ever thought we'd pick up a Gemara Pesach and Bavdalad as the mocha from Nigel Lifta Mishvul Arminah. Says the Taz, that the reason why the Rimagash says that Migo Lifta Mishvul doesn't work is not because Migo is bad, like the Lavush said, that this Migo is lacking because there's no real nemunah to this Migo because the guy wouldn't have thought of all his claims. No, this is a very, very good Migo. And it's not that Migo is only a suffix, like the Smah saying, and therefore it falls short, you can't be pulled to Mishvul. This is a good Migo, it's a Migo, but there is Vadai, and we have absolute certainty, we're really convinced the guy tells us Migo is really, really good. But it's not that good. It's not as good as Shvua. Shvua, Shvua, Shemtiya, Bechneim. Well, that's the Eimcha Biru Golem Rizeh. So comes the Taz and says, the hierarchy of Birurim, whenever you can go for the higher level, you have to go for the higher level.
Why is Ha'azah better than Shvua then? If you call for a call, you don't have to do Shvua. Why don't you use your best proof if I call for a call?
Also, it means why doesn't the Torah, you can ask them, everything Torah, why doesn't the Torah say everything Torah should require a Shvua?
You're right. That's really your best proof, using a psychological proof. Why use a psychological proof when you can have a...
So the answer is that when the Torah is Mechayev Shvuos, the Torah says, we need a high level of proof, so then you want to substitute for a low level of proof, that's not going to be good enough. You have to always go for the highest. But why the Torah only insists on high level of proofs in certain limited cases, that's a very different question. Because the Torah, we don't want everybody swearing all the time, so there's certain very, very limited cases that the Torah singled out. But once we've identified cases that require high level proof, then you can't let us get away with the low level proof, even though that low level proof is really intrinsically good. It's not an insufficient proof like the Levosh.
It's a circular reasoning, because you're saying the Torah shouldn't have been the high view that high level of proof because of the Migo.
No. The starting point is I understand that there's a Chiyur Shvuah. The starting point is that the Chiyur Shvuah. So now the question is, can we come from left field and invoke a Chosmigo and say, oh, by the way, if I have a Migo in this particular case, so then let me get out of that Shvuah Sotera. See, according to the Rebbe, it's not asking the same question as every Mene Mikta should be a Kareth for a Kol. Should be Migo Makor for a Kol. Because remember, according to the Rebbe Gash, that wasn't even the Gemara's question. So we're mixing Tosis' question to the Rebbe Gash's pshat. So getting back to the story. So we have the Shittas Rebbe Gash against the Rosh, against Tosis. The Rebbe Gash said the bottom line is Migo Lifnei Shvuah Lo Aminan. He had his three Rayas from the three Shvuah Satoras, Veid Echad, Veid Miktas, and Shvuah Sashamrim. Each one of the Rayas, the Rosh was able to be Daisha. The conceptual issue as to why such a concept should be true. So we have three different Biurim, but not just three technical Biurim, three fundamentally different takes on the Rebbe Gash. Either it's a chisaron in the truthfulness of the Migo, that was the first approach of the Levush, or it's a chisaron in the sense that the Migo can only create a later sasafeg, that was the approach of the Levush that we touched up a little bit, or it's a chisaron that it's not really a chisaron. There's really nothing wrong with it. It's just, it's not as good as the Shvuah, and therefore falls short, only because it's not as perfectly good beer as the Shvuah, following the Tazim Malach. The three different Malachim. The Rosh doesn't mind any of this. Tazim the Rosh said, the whole thing is not true. The whole thing is not true, that Migo Lifta Mishvuah works just as valid as Migo Lifta Mishvuah. Okay, just in terms of our schedule. So Friday, the